on this week's Parsha. Parsha Toldos. So, Yitzchak ends up in Gerar, in the land of the Plishtim, and after a similar episode to where so the Pasuk describes that Yitzchak planted there, Vayizra Yitzchak Baretz Ahiyin, Yitzchak planted there, Vayimsa Bashana Ahiyin Meya She'arim. And he found, that year, he found 100 She'arim. Gates, 100 portions. Vayivarcheyu Hashem, and Hashem blessed him. So Rashi here tells us that what is this 100 measurement, 100 portions? So Rashi says that Shamdua kamaru uyo lasos as alacha. Shamdua alacha shamdua mea. That what, you know, he made an estimate for how much produce this land would provide, would produce, and it actually produced 100 times what he was expecting. And then he says, Rabboseinu amru, omid zelem maitros haya. They actually, I don't know if it fits together with the other pshat or not, but he was, the reason why he was doing this, why he was estimating, why he was trying to count exactly what it was producing, was for the purpose of taking meiser, for taking a tithe, one-tenth, which we call meiser. Now, there are different types of meiser. That's primarily three different types, and then a fourth, which is sort of more prevalent nowadays. So the three types of meiser are meiser rishon, the first meiser, meiser sheni, second meiser, and meiser ani, meiser for the poor. Now, meiser, by the way, comes from the word eser, which means tenth. So it's a tenth. So you take a tenth. So meiser rishon is that you do every year, except for Shemitah, I guess. So, right, there's a Shemitah cycle. Every 7 years is the year of Shemitah. So meiser rishon is taken every year, and it's given to the Levium. That's how the Levium don't really have their own land. That's how they live off of.
Yeah. I thought it was years 1, 2, 4, 5.
So meiser rishon is taken every year.
Okay.
And meiser sheni, which is, so meiser rishon goes to the Levium. You give it to the Levium, and that's taken every year. Meiser sheni, which is another type of meiser, is you actually get to keep. However, you take a tenth, and you're required to eat that portion of your crop in Yerushalayim. In Jerusalem, there's a way you could redeem it. If you want, if it's too hard to bring the food, you could bring money instead. But that's Meiser Sheni, and that is observed during the first year of Shemitah, the second year of Shemitah, the fourth year of Shemitah, and the fifth year of Shemitah. Now, there's another type of that Meiser, which is called Meiser Ani, which is during the third, instead of Meiser Sheni, instead of taking that part to Yerushalayim, in the third year of Shemitah and the sixth year of Shemitah, you take Meiser Ani, which is you take a tenth and you give it to the poor. And now, nowadays, at least outside of Eretz Yisrael, we don't have any of these mitzvot. I guess they never really had it. It's only practiced in Eretz Yisrael. But we still, you know, observe the concept of Meiser Ksafim. The minhag, it's a custom to still try, one should try to give a tenth of their income, if possible, to Daka, either, you know, somewhat to the poor, to Jewish organizations, to support in Torah. But that's not the Meiser of the Torah, that's a custom, which, you know, so it won't, it doesn't, you know, it's not as strict, and, but, so that's really, when we talk about Meiser nowadays, usually people refer to, you know, I took Meiser, I took a tenth of my income, and gave it to some tzedakah of some sort. But here we have that Yitzchak is perhaps the first to take Meiser. So the Rambam actually records this. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim is speaking actually about the seven Noahide laws, seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, and he's giving some introduction to the history of mitzvot in a way. And he writes there that after he mentions the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, those seven laws, he writes, "V'chein hayo hadavar b'kol ha'olam ad Avram," and that was what existed in the world until Avram came. Avram came along, v'nitzava yisrael elu b'mila. Avram was commanded to do bris milah in addition to those seven mitzvot. So now an eighth mitzvah was introduced. V'hu misbalav shachris, and he also daven shachris. And then he says the Rambam, the Yitzchak hifrish meiser. And Yitzchak separated meiser, and he daven mincha, but Yitzchak added on the mitzvah of meiser. So the Ravid is bothered by this. He thinks that maybe there's a mistake here. Because if you go back to Parshas Lech Lecha, after the war between the four kings and the five kings, so they are dividing up the spoil, and Pasuk describes that Malki Tzedek Perik Yud Dalet Pasuk Chas. So it says there that Malki Tzedek, who we know is Shem, the son of Noah, they're celebrating the victory. He brought out bread and wine, and it says he was a Kohen to Hashem. He was a priest of Hashem, and it says that he gave Avram a bracha, and then it says Vayitem lo ma'aser mikol. And it describes that Avram gave Meiser. Why? Because Malki Tzedek was a Kohen. So he gave him a Meiser. He gave him a tenth. So the Ravid says, you see, that, this is like, I guess, like the Meiser that you give to Levim. It was a Kohen. It's the same, the Levim, the Kohanim also will get that same Meiser, I think. I think when we say that you give to the Levim, I think it may include Kohanim. I'm not 100% sure about that. But they get Truma also. Yeah, it could be that they don't because they get Truma. I'm not sure. What? Right, that's true. Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, so I guess right. It could be that they would not get the Meister that's specific to Levine. But anyways, the same concept of giving the Meister to the Kohanim, the Levine. And so says the Ravid, we see that Avram actually gave Meister before Yitzchak. So he says it's a mistake, it should say, I don't know if he's, saying that really this is what the Rambam meant, or he's just correcting the Rambam, and he says it should say that Avram daven shachris and separated Meister, and that Yitzchak added mincha, but it wasn't Yitzchak who introduced Meister, it was Avram. So the Kesef Mishnah looks to, resolve the problem for the Rambam, and he says that these are two different types of Meister. Avram was giving Meister, was giving a tenth of the spoils of the war. So, he says that wasn't, Meister, as we think of it. It was because Malki Tzedek had brought out this bread and wine and blessed him, and he wanted to give something back. He gave him, a tenth of the spoil, of his spoils. But Yitzchak was the first to take a tithe of his personal income for Meiser, and that's what the Rambam is referring to, and Yitzchak is really the first to take Meiser.
So did Yitzchak take Meiser from all his property, or just from the boundary of the land, whatever the produce of the land was?
I think his produce, his income, his produce from that year, he took Meiser. I don't know what he did with it. If he gave it to the poor, if he gave it the other types of Meiser.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It seems that it was the produce, but not so clear. So that's this discussion, this back and forth between the Rambam and the Ravid. Rambam says Yitzchak was the first. The Ravid says Avram was the first. Now, the Rav Huttner writes that even if we accept that. The real, Yitzchak was the first to really take Meister. But the fact that Meister is mentioned by Avram, you know, at an earlier point, he says there's a concept that whenever something is introduced for the first time in the Torah, so there's some, you know, significance to that, and he says we have to explain what the connection between Avram and Meister is in a machshava way, in a Torah. You know, Rav Huttner was a thinker of Jewish thought. So you'll see, it's like a little, you know, I don't know what the right word is. Esoteric, deep, his ideas. But this piece, you know, I struggle with any of his pieces. But this one, you know, I had some clarity in. You know, it was a little easier for me. So he introduces a Gemara, which, you know, really we'll talk about. This will sort of be the focus of the rest of the shiur, and that is a Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara says, "Aser to Aser." This is found in Parsha Re'eh, where, you know, we're commanded to take Meiser, mitzvah Aser to take Meiser, and the Gemara has a drasha actually in a number of different places. The Gemara learns out, "Aser to Aser," right? You should surely take Meiser. That means aser bishvil shetitasher. Take meiser in order that you should become rich. That the word eser, 10, meiser, and ashir, which means rich, are very similar. And it says aser te aser. Why does it say it twice? It's teaching you aser bishvil shetitasher. Take meiser in order that you should become rich. Talk more about that drasha later. But the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan happened to meet up with the child of Reish Lakish, and I guess the boy said, "Tell me a pasuk." So he said, Aser to Aser. That was the pasuk that he taught him. So he asked him, what does Aser to Aser mean? So he said, it means Aser b'shvil shetit Asher, give Meiser in order that you could become rich.
Yeah.
Or you give it to the poor, or you give it to the Levium. Right, there's three different types. Sometimes you give it, you take a tenth and give it to the Levium, the Levites, then you take a tenth. And on certain years you bring it to Yerushalayim King, on certain years you give it to the poor.
So it's three tenths, or is it just on different years?
It's two tenths in the end, I guess. Because one of them you always do, the first tenth, and then the other one switch off. So he said, how do you know this? How do you know that you'll become rich if you give Meister? So we told him, go try it out. So he said, go test it. So he said, are you allowed to test Hashem? Are you allowed to test Hashem and say, you know, let's see if this works? You know, I'm only going to give Meister, and, you know, on condition I got to become rich. Are you allowed to do that? There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, lo tinasu es Hashem. You're not allowed to test Hashem. So how can you do this? How can you say, you know, give in order to become rich? You know, you're expecting something. You're expecting a reward in this world. You don't do that. So you're not allowed to. So he said, this is an exception. Meiser is an exception. Because the pasuk says in Malachi, it says, Haviu es kol ha-meiser al-beiso, to bring all of the meiser to the treasure house, the teres bevesi, and there will be food in my house. And says Hashem, uvichanuni na bezot, and test me with it. Amar Hashem tzvako, says Hashem, im lo eftach lachem es arubos ha-shamayim, if I don't open up the holes of the heavens, v'harikosi lachem bracha ad belidai, and I will pour out blessing until you say enough. Like Hashem says, bring Meiser and b'chanuni na b'zo, test me with it. If I don't open up the heavens and pour bracha upon you, to the point where you say enough, I've had enough, too much. So this is an exception. Meister, you're allowed to test Hashem on. That's what the Gemara said. And it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Malachi.
So if we brought two tenths of the Master, Rishon, and either Shem or Ani every year, why don't we have a commandment to bring 20%, instead of 10%?
You mean why is it custom nowadays that we only do 10%?
Yeah, right. I mean, since we've brought essentially 20%, right, every year, on 7-year cycle, yeah, so...
I'm not sure. Good question. So,
what was the raining bracha? How is that related to what you just said?
Hashem, right? The story, in the Gemara said, are you allowed to test Hashem? How could you say, you know, give in order to become rich, like you're expecting this reward? And he says, tells him, go test it, right? And he says, are you allowed to test God? So he says, yes, because it's a pasuk in Navi. In Navi, it says I will that bring Meister to the house of Hashem, and test me with this. If I don't open up the heavens and pour blessing upon you. So we see that by Meister you're allowed to test Hashem. Even though in general there's a negative command in the Torah, you can't test Hashem. But this is an exception.
What kind of bracha is supposed to rain on you?
Well,
oh.
Yeah.
It gets rain.
Yeah, rain will provide wealth.
So our version of rain is wealth?
Yeah. So that's the Gemara. So it says, this is a very interesting thing. Why is it that Meister is the one mitzvah for which you're allowed to test Hashem? Right? I see from here that you're allowed to test Hashem when it comes to Meister, but why? Why is Meister the one mitzvah? So he says an amazing thing. He says, we know that the world was created with Asara Maimara, 10 statements, the Mishnah says in Avot. Right? You go through Pashas Bereishis, 10 statements to create the world. Now, the first 9 of those statements were the creation of all, of everything except man. Right? The 10th statement created man. Right? So 10 statements to create the world, the last of which was the creation of man.
So,
the Mishnah doesn't actually enumerate what each one is, but, you know, I guess it was the creation of the animals, which, you know, preceded man. But, so, the 10th was the creation of man. Now, what's that?
Is it in one word? He created man in one word?
Right, exactly. There's 10 statements. I think if you look, there's only 9, so the Gemara says Bereishis was the first one, even though I'm saying said Bereishis. Now, in the 10th statement of the creation of man, there was something very different from all the other statements. And that is that man was the first creation that had bechira, that had free choice. Everything else, animals don't have free choice, plant life, definitely, you know, domain, there's rocks, there's no choice, right? So the first thing with free choice was man. So that was the, Hakol bidei shamayim, the Gemara says, everything is in the hands of heaven, chutz miyirah shamayim, except for the fear of heaven, meaning that that's in our hands, that's bechira, that's free choice to choose, are we going to fear Hashem, are we going to do His mitzvot? That's in our hands. Now he says, now we can understand the concept of bichanuni novizot. Why is Meiser the mitzvah that we're allowed to test Hashem? He says, Hashem took nine for himself. He took the first nine statements of creation, are no bechira. He didn't give them free choice. Hashem kept complete control of those of all creation, except for the tenth statement. In a way, that was Hashem's meiser. He gave meiser. He gave one tenth its own, you know, away to us, to man, free choice. That Hashem was in a way giving something up. But what was he giving up? Right? He was giving up. He was giving man free choice. What's free choice? Free choice is nisayon, test. If we didn't have free choice, you know, then we would just be on autopilot and there would be no test, right? It's only because we have bechira that we have free choice that we are now tested. So therefore, just as Hashem, in giving his meiser, giving his tenth, his tithe, the tenth statement, he gave up from himself, he gave away to us. But through doing so, he tested us. So too, when we give meiser, we are allowed to test Hashem back. Because there's this, what he describes as hakfala being hanhagos hakadosh baruch hu klapei adam, adam klapei mala. There's a certain, if the Chaim speaks about it, there's a certain mirroring between the way, you know, we emulate Hashem and Hashem reacts. He runs the world based on our actions. There's a certain mirroring, right? We say, Hashem tilcha, yad yiminach. Hashem is your shadow, right? Like Hashem responds to our actions. There's a certain, you know, mirror image between we're tzelem elokim, we're creating the image of God. There's a certain relationship of, you know, like a mirror effect between us and Hashem. And just as Hashem tested us with his maaser, with his tenth that he gave, because in the tenth statement he gave us free choice. He gave up from himself, he gave us free choice, and he tested us. So too, when we give maaser, we're allowed to test Hashem. Amazing, you know, as I said, you know, deep idea. You know, you wouldn't have thought of that yourself. But yeah, so that says Rav Huttner. So he says that now we can explain that why Avraham Avinu, you know, we find Meister for the first time by Avraham Avinu. Because he says that Hashem, the Gemara says that Hashem provided for the world with chesed for 26 generations, up until the giving of the Torah. And because until the Torah was given, we couldn't really earn it. We couldn't earn anything that Hashem provided for us. And so for the first 26 generations of the world, it was, you know, pure chesed. However, at the time of Matan Torah, even though it's still chesed, but it's a different type of chesed. In the up to Matan Torah, it's what he describes as chesed vitor, like totally undeserved, no earning whatsoever, no mitzvot, totally undeserved. Before the Torah was given, all that Hashem provided was totally undeserved. Once the Torah is given, so, you know, it's still chesed that Hashem provides for us, but it's just, when you call it chesed the mishpat, like we did earn it in a way, when we do mishpat, or we can earn it. So while it's still chesed, but it's what you could describe as chesed mishpat. He says that really, already at the time of Avraham Avinu, you know, he began to tap into that chesed mishpat, that earned chesed, and in a way started to use his bechira to earn for himself. So therefore, I think what he's saying is because Avraham Avinu is earning for himself. Like really, there's one other thing that he said. There's an expression in the Gemara that Rotze Adam Bekav Shalom Yoser Mitesha Kavim Shal Chaveiro. Kav is a measurement. The person would rather his own kav rather than nine of his friend's kav. He wants his own portion more than nine of his friend's portion. Meaning a person wants to earn it himself. If you person would rather earn one portion than get nine portions given to him for free. And that's the whole concept of the Zechira, where we, like Hashem could just reward us. Why did Hashem create a world if he wanted, like Hashem wanted, if Hashem wanted to, he could just, you know, reward us. But a person wants to earn the reward. And a Shama wants to earn the reward. And therefore, that's what Hashem gave us. When, that a person would rather nine, the one portion, the Bechira, the free choice to earn it, rather than the nine portions of his friends. Those nine portions, those first nine statements where there's no Bechira, there's no free choice, a person would rather the free choice. And since Avraham Avinu was the first one to tap into that free choice, you know, to use the Bechira, to earn the, to follow the Torah, and to earn those, you know, his portion, to earn that chesed from Hashem. So therefore, he's the first one that we find this concept of Meister by, because he was the first one to really use the Meister that Hashem gave, that one-tenth that Hashem gave us, the Bechira, the free choice, the opportunity to earn Hashem's chesed. Avram was the first to tap into that, and therefore Avram is the first place that we find Meister mentioned in the Torah.
It's not the Meister of Yitzchak,
Well, he gave Meister in some way, whether it was to, you know, it was a spoils way, or it was real Meister because he was a Kohen, as Rashi says. You know, but whichever one it is, I don't think Rav Huttner is getting too concerned with that.
Right.
But his point is, we find Meister by him, and it was. He gave Meister. And on a machshava level, on a Jewish thought perspective, there must be a reason why he's the first one that we find a mention of Meister from, on a deeper level. And that's because, on a deeper level, he was the first to tap into this Meister of Hashem, the tenth, you know, the Bechira that Hashem gave us as his Meister.
But how did he tap into it?
Because he was the first one to earn his keep in a way.
Oh, because
he started to do mitzvahs. Up till him, okay, you know, maybe Noah, maybe others did, but he's the first one to really do it. And to really, right, to really start to use his free choice to earn Hashem's chesed.
Right.
Okay. So that's a hook. So what I want to do for the rest of the shiur is continue to talk about Meister, and really to focus on this idea of Aser Bishvil Shatit Aser, give Meister in order that you become rich, and how, why are we allowed to test Hashem? We have Rav Huttner's approach that you're allowed to test Hashem because that's how Hashem tests us. With the Meister that Hashem gave us, he tested us. So we mirror that, and we test Hashem with the Meister that we give. Sefer HaChinuch, when he's discussing the mitzvah, the negative commandments of not testing Hashem, so he says that the heart of this mitzvah is that we cannot do a mitzvah to test Hashem if he's going to reward us. And he says the reason is because we know in general that we're not rewarded in this world. The reward awaits us in the world to come. You can't expect a reward in this world. However, he mentions, of course, this one exception, that the Gemara says that when it comes to Meiser, we're allowed to test Hashem. And he wonders why. So says the Chinuch, Hatam Bezu, the reason for this is, Ke'inyin Shekasov, like it says, of course, the Pasuk in Mishle, Malve Hashem Chonein Da. One who's Chonein Da, one who is gracious to the poor, he's Malve Hashem, he's lending Hashem. That's what the Pasuk, that's what Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishle. So the Sefer, what's that?
Who's
considered poor? Good question. I don't know the exact definition, but there is a definition given. If he doesn't have a certain amount of meals, maybe if he has two or three or less meals than that, I think. It's pretty poor. What's that?
Almost like homeless. Like that.
Yeah, it goes by, you know, officially. To be like on it's very important on Purim, where there's a mitzvah, Matanos Lavyonim, there's a mitzvah to give to the poor, you know, to make sure that person is actually qualifies as poor. Whatever the, you know, whatever the definition is. I'm not sure what it is.
Does a widow or orphan count as poor?
Not necessarily. They could be very rich. There's a separate mitzvah, you know, to be kind to widows and orphans, but that doesn't necessarily mean to give them tzedakah if they don't need it.
Oh, okay.
So says the Sefer HaChinuch that we see in this pasuk, I think what he's saying is that we're lending Hashem, when we give to the poor, we're really just lending Hashem money. You know, the Shach has an interesting line also in explaining why you're allowed to test Hashem with this. And the Shach says, you know why you're allowed to? Shevada yavo. Because it's for sure going to come. Doesn't really explain much. You know, it's automatic. So, okay, we might see other ways to approach that, but he seems to be in a practical way saying it's going to come. But maybe, you know, it's with this concept that really we're just lending Hashem money. When we give to the poor, we're just lending Hashem money, and Hashem promises us that you'll be rewarded. I'll pay you back. I'll make sure that you get rewarded. And that's why you're allowed to test Hashem with this, is because really we're just lending Hashem. When we give to the poor, we're just lending money to Hashem, providing for His children. And he's going to make sure that we get rewarded for that. So that's another approach of why we're allowed to test Hashem with this. Share one more. One more reason, perhaps, why we're allowed to test Hashem is given by the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Yishchai, in his Perush to Maseches Tanya. And he writes that he's really getting involved also. He writes that the reason is that the Gemara there continues, and the Gemara says that we mentioned it outside, that the pasuk promises that if I'll open up the heavens and I'll pour bracha on you ad bilidai, which is a hard phrase to translate. I just translate as, you know, until you say enough, which is really what the Gemara says. But the Gemara, you know, learns out it means ad shebala sifsosechem milomar dai, until your lips get tattered or like, you know, rough from saying enough so much. You said enough so much that you have so much. You say enough, and your lips get rough and dry. So. Now he says, you know, you kind of reacted when I first said it, you know, you'll say enough, like, you know, who says enough, you know? When does somebody ever say, you know, I have enough? It goes against nature, right? That's not what a person, you know, in general we say, that, you know, person has whatever person has, he wants more, right? So. Right. So he says that a person who's really in control of his desires and is able to say die, he's able to say enough. So that's a great level to be on. And really, when you're doing this, when you're being rewarded with great riches, you're really testing yourself. Are you able to say enough? Can you reach the point where you can say enough? And that's why he says you're allowed to test Hashem with this. The reason why you're allowed to test Hashem with this is because through this, you're really able to test yourself. And you're able to see, are you able to overcome your desires or not? Are you able to say enough? So Hashem says, I'm going to guarantee you that I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to guarantee this. And you can test me on it. In order that you can see for yourself, you can test yourself, do you have it within you to say enough? Okay, very good. You're tying it into a foot. You're saying it can tie in that's right. You take that Hashem is. You can test Hashem, and He'll test you back to see if you can use that bechir, use that free will, and say, I thank you, Hashem. I have enough. You know. Good.
So how do you test Hashem? I didn't understand that.
Well, meaning that we can say, you know, Hashem, you know, Hashem promises. He says, test me. You know, you can say to Hashem, you know, I mean, I don't know what you're allowed to say. You know, I don't believe in you if you don't give me this. I don't know if you could go that far, but that's the idea that you say, like, you know, Hashem, prove yourself to me. You know?
I did to the floor, now show me.
Exactly.
So inherent in that test is that the man has to act first, right? Give me the wealth.
No, right.
And then I'll provide.
Right.
So basically, human kind of, okay, I've given, you know, I've taken off from you, I've given to God
good question. That's really part of the rest of Rav Huttner's piece. But I did not go through that section. So if I have a chance, I'll try to go through it and see how he interprets that. But really, the next section begins with that type of question. He says, you know, we find that by Yaakov we also have Meiser, but it's different because there it's on condition. Yaakov says, if you'll be with me and you'll protect me, then I'll take Meiser. And it seems like, he says, it seems like it's lesser than you know, like he's taking it's contingent, but it's a digression from, you know, from a regression, from his father and his grandfather who gave unconditionally Meiser. And now Yaakov's saying, you know, if you protect me, then I'll, and you do good by me, then I'll give Meiser. So if I have a chance, I'll go through the rest and and try to get back to you about that. So becoming, you know, a similar idea to the one that you were just bringing up about, you know, how does it work? Do you first get Meiser, or do you first get paid back, you know, become rich? So some of the Mefarshim want to also discuss, you know, what is it about this pasuk, aser to aser, that give, you know, how could Chazal say, right, aser to aser means give Meiser. It's a double language, though. Should surely give Meiser some, you know, long as that refers to two different types of Meiser also. But on those words, Chazal say aser to aser, it means aser in order that titasher, that you become rich. Farshim say, but it doesn't say that. It says aser te aser. It doesn't say tit asher. You're changing two things. You're making it, instead of te aser, you're changing it to tit, and you're changing the sin to a shin. So, you know, what's this drasha, aser bishvil she tit asher? So, so the Rabbi Abachaya discusses this, that what the drasha really is, is that it's aser, give Meiser, and then to aser, and then as a result, you'll give more Meiser. That if you give Meiser, then you'll merit to give more Meiser. That's really what Chazal saw in the Pasuk. Aser, give Meister, and Teser, then you'll give more Meister. And how will you merit to give more Meister? Well, because you'll become very rich. So really, when Chazal said it means Aser, Bishvil, Shetit, Asher, they weren't saying that that's the word to Aser, which means to give Meister, means you'll become rich. Really, they were saying they understood that it was saying Aser, give Meister, then to Aser, then you'll be able to give more Meister. And how will you do that? Because you'll become rich. The Ben Yoyada also, you know, says similar that te aser implies aser is more like take a tenth, and te aser is like, you know, give that tenth to another person. So he says that, you know, right, the Levim and the Kohanim, they don't, Hashem didn't give them their own portion. They rely on Trumos and Maestros, right? Like we said, the Kohanim rely on Truma, and the Maestros from the Levim, and the Levim rely on Maester, and other, I guess the Kohanim get other Matnos, Kuna, other gifts. But that's what they rely on. They rely on us giving them gifts. Now, it's because of that we can merit wealth. Because if we didn't have wealth, so then the Kohanim and Levim wouldn't be able to have wealth because they rely on us. So therefore, Hashem gives us more bracha in order that they can have more bracha as well. That's what it means, he says, aser to aser, meaning aser, take meiser, and then te aser or tashir, you'll make rich. Now he's more concerned that it's talking about someone else. That he's not so concerned about switching the sin to a shin. He's more concerned that te aser implies you're doing it to someone else. So he says aser, take meiser, and tashir, then you'll make them rich. If you take meiser, then you'll make the Kohanim rich and the Levim. You'll make the Levim rich. And again, Chazal understood that if you're making them rich, it must be that you became rich as well. And that gave you the opportunity to make them rich. So similar to Rabbi Abachayai, that again, Rabbi Abachayai was saying, te'aser means that you'll be able to give more meiser, and that means that you must have become rich yourself. And the Ben Yoyada is saying, ta'ashir, you'll make them rich, which means that you must have become rich yourself. So I just want to share one more approach to this. You know what it means. Two more approaches actually, but they're sort of interrelated. What it means that you're going to become rich. So the Chassam Sofer says that really Rav Schwab and the Chassam Sofer are sharing a similar idea, but first I'll tell you the way the Chassam Sofer says it. The Chassam Sofer says that Chazal have two drushas here, really. They learn out two things. One is aser bishvil shetit asher, take maizer so that you'll become rich. And they also say bishvil shalot tischaser, so you won't lose. Now, exactly how they come to that drasha, he doesn't get into, but the idea is that that the bracha of Hashem, Shlomo says that the bracha of Hashem will make you rich. And what does he mean by that? That we know, as we mentioned before, a person always wants more. As I'll say, a person can't die without even achieving half of his desires. Or it also says if he has one mana, if he has one, you know, $1, he wants two. If he has 100, he wants 200. So what's the bracha that Hashem could provide? How could Hashem make you rich? Right? A person's never rich. If he's rich, he wants double. Right? So how can you ever be rich? So the bracha that Hashem could give is in midos, in fine character traits. of the meat of his sapkus, of having enough, of having the feeling that you have enough. That's the bracha that Hashem could provide. And so that's the bracha that we're talking about here. Aser, take meiser, b'shul shetit asher, that you'll become rich. You can't actually become rich. It's not possible to become rich through having more money. Because more money doesn't make you rich. Because the more money you have, the more money you want. Rather, how does it make you rich? What is the promise? The promise is that if you take Meiser, Hashem will bless you with this nida, with this attribute of being happy with what you have.
Why can't you do both? Give us more money and make us happy.
It's possible. I guess, you know, many Mepharshim here say that he will make you rich. So, and some are saying he'll make you happy. So, I don't know. You know, maybe both will happen. Excellent. So, that's what Reb Schwab mentioned. So, Reb Schwab says that, it's very similar to Chassam Sofer, but slightly different in that Chassam Sofer was saying, give Meiser, then Hashem will bless you with this good attribute. Rav Schwab says that it's not that give it and then Hashem will bless you, but if you give Meiser, you will develop that character trait. A person who gives tzedakah will develop the character trait of, you know, I have enough. When you give, I think what he means is, first of all, that you're putting a boundary on your desires, and you're saying, you know, I have enough. I could share. And also, if you're recognizing that, you know, what you have is from Hashem, everything that you have Hashem decided to give you, and you know, there's a portion that doesn't belong to you that you're expected to give away. And when you recognize that, so then you can come to this nida of, right, of, as the Mishnah says in Avos, Ezu Asher Asameh Sechelka, who is rich, one who's happy with what he has. So that's how you become rich, right? In general, Asher, being rich isn't necessarily a good thing. He says in Mishlei, Shalom HaMelech is constantly, you know, speaking badly about the rich. But there is a type of rich that is good, which is being happy with what you have. And through giving Meiser, you can develop that meter. You'll develop that character trait through giving. To realize, giving is an act of, I have enough, I can now share. And you'll develop the character trait, the good meter of having enough with what you have. Just to close, hours late, but there's a discussion in the poskim about whether this promise applies even to the minhag, the custom nowadays of giving maaser. So the Rama seems to imply that it does. The Rama says it doesn't apply to other tzedakah. It applies specifically to maaser, this promise that you'll become rich. However, it doesn't apply to other tzedakah. The Pesach Teshuva brings a number of achronim who argue, of Yaakov Emdin, the Shra, the Shra Kadosh, they argue and say, no, it only applies, the Rabbi Yaakov Emdin say it only applies applies to the Meister of the Torah, either the Meister that you took from your field, etc., but they say it doesn't apply to the custom of taking a tenth to give tzedakah of nowadays. So we have a machlokes for Rama, says it does apply nowadays, and the Rabbi Yaakov Emdin says it doesn't. The Aruch HaShulchan sides with the Rama and says it certainly does. It doesn't. Why wouldn't it apply nowadays? Apply to the maaser that we give nowadays? And he says that just look around. He says I could testify that there are many, well, you know, very rich people, and the more I see it myself, that the more that they give, the more that they become even more wealthy, and that the promise of Aser Bishvil Shetit Asher, to give maaser, or that you'll become rich, does apply even to the custom nowadays of giving a tenth of our income.